Happy to have brother with us. Amen, Brady. We thank God for his life and his ministry. Amen. He's a man that seeks the face of God, and God has given him a real, outstanding ministry. And he don't get up and say that, but God uses him and uses him in prophecy. And we certainly are grateful for the ministry of our brother, and we're happy that he's able to be with us for these 3 days. So let's give our undivided attention, and we know sometimes you have to go to the restroom, but let's not just get up and run. Let's pay attention, and God has something to say to every single one of us in the Word of God tonight. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Brady.
Thank you. Amen. You're wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Eastman. Praise the Lord. You're not going to start the tape yet, are you? Don't start the tape yet. Praise the Lord. I tell my sound man, don't get all the announcements and all the, the salutations and, when I say my text, then plug that thing. Just poke it or whatever you got to do to that, whatever button is. Praise the Lord. But I want to greet all the leaders, Pastor Leonard Eastman, your leader, and all of the other brethren, amen, praise the Lord, give you greetings, praise the Lord, not only from me, but from my pastor and those in Mahaffey. And I know so many of them are coming, probably in the latter part of the camp. Some probably will have to recover from, we just got out of kids camp and youth camp. We finished today. And if I look like my grandmother used to say, a little puny, amen. That could be one of the reasons, if I don't know, if I look a little puny, because we just got out of youth camp and kids camp. Had a great time. God really gave us a great visitation. I don't think there's nothing more beautiful than to sit, amen, on my porch, my trailer, and listen to 8 and 12-year-olds sing unto the Lord. Amen. That is such a blessing. Then to hear teenagers reaching out to God, and God calling them and laying his hand on them. And the holy hush that comes over the campground as the preacher begins to preach the word, and all of a sudden strongholds get pulled down, and God raises a standard, and all over that ground, maybe it's just me. I tell my workers, maybe it's me, but I feel a holy hush just starts coming over that campground, and it's like God's just really doing something great. Praise God. Amen. Matter of fact, I can sense it wherever I'm at on the grounds, and I just feel like stopping and paying respect to God, because God's moving. And that's what it's all about, is it not? We give honor to all the workers, for we understand all that it takes to get a camp meeting ready, and then all it takes to run a camp meeting. And so I appreciate all those that have labored many hours before anybody got here and cleaned and did that. Praise God. So we understand all that. So, amen, bless God. We give honor to that. And we give honor to all those that have traveled in. And we understand what the first night of camp's all about. And praise God. First night of camp's kind of like the last night. Amen. Everybody's traveling in, and the last night everybody's traveling out. And so the mindset is kind of two different directions, but really it's kind of the same kind of mindset. So I pray I don't bore you tonight. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to be looking out of the book of Genesis chapter 28 tonight. Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to be looking out of the book of Genesis chapter 28 tonight. Amen. Praise God for a few moments here. I was looking around for a clock. I don't have a watch, so I hope I don't extend my indulgence here today, tonight. Genesis chapter 28. Well, God bless you, brother. This brother must not want me to preach long. Thank you. I'm only teasing. Praise God. Hey, all the elders, some of the deacons in my church offer me a watch too. Praise God. One of the deacons said the clock needs to be a little bigger in the back there, Pastor. You evidently don't see it too good. Praise
God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Genesis chapter 28. Will you stand in reverence of the Word of God? We're only going to read a few verses for the sake of your standing. Verse 16 of Genesis 28. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. The stone which I have set as a pillar shall be a God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, will surely give the tenth unto thee. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we're grateful to stand behind this pulpit, God. We know the awesome responsibility that lays upon us to deliver thy word, O God, this night. I stand here in great need of your anointing, great need of the divine unction of the Spirit of the Lord. And I pray that God give me clear thought in the word that you have dropped in my spirit. Allow it to flow out, my God, like a mighty river, I pray. And God, arrest the attention of your people in this tabernacle, Lord. And arrest their attention, O God, and speak individually to each person in this place. And we bind the enemy from trying to steal the Word of God from the heart of your children. We come against every distraction. We come against everything that the enemy would try to do to rob the blessing of the Lord tonight. For there are those that have come, God, that need deliverance. There are those that have come tonight that need miracles. There are those tonight that need lifted up, Lord. But whatever, my God, is the need, and whatever, my God, is the need that is represented here in this tabernacle, God, you are able to meet that need. And we acknowledge that, O God, this night. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for we ask it in your wonderful name, Jesus. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. There's a few thoughts that I'd like to pull out of this. And I know that this has been preached so many times that I thought, oh Lord, don't let me be redundant. But yet I feel as though God has given me something to share with you. Amen. To lay the foundation for what God is going to do in this camp meeting. You know what was happening here. Jacob was running from Esau. Sometimes when you're running, you run into, amen, someplace else. And what happened to Jacob is, while he's running from Esau, he runs into God. Tonight, there are some that are here that are running, and you're running from a situation, and you don't realize, but you're in the right place tonight because you're running into another situation. You're going to run right into God's presence. Hallelujah. And so Jacob was running from one thing only to run into another. Oh, look at your neighbor and tell him, I hope you run into God tonight. It's amazing how God, even though Jacob ran, God didn't have to run after him. It's amazing that though Jacob was running, God wasn't running. It's amazing that God didn't run to go find Jacob, because God knew where Jacob was. And God knows where you're at tonight. And God don't have to run after you, because God's everywhere. Can you say amen? And what God does sometimes, He waits till you stop. And then God says, are you done? You? Are you done running? Are you done trying to ignore me? Are you done trying to turn me off? Oh my, help me preach. Are you done turning the preacher off? Are you done doing this and that? Praise God. Because if you're done, then we can move on from here. Hey, praise God. And I can mold you and shape you and begin to work in your life, Jacob. You? Notice what happened here. Jacob was running so much that he got tired. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you tired yet? Are you tired yet? Oh, I'm praying for a whole lot of folks to get tired. A whole lot of folks that are running from God, I'm praying they get tired. You've got loved ones that you're praying, they get tired. And Jacob got tired. And when you get tired, you go to sleep. Can you say amen? And so what happened to Jacob is, he was sleeping, amen, and when he fell asleep, he decided, I'm going to make this pillow, this stone a pillow, and this looks like, amen, about the best place I guess I could sleep. It's not the best, but it's not the Holiday Inn, but it's the only place, and I'm tired. And so he laid his head down on the pillow, amen, and made a stone a pillow. And as he was laying there, then God stepped in and gave him a vision. When you get tired of running and you run out of yourself, then that's when God can feel you. When you run out of yourself, that's when God can touch you. When you run out of yourself, that's when you'll see the vision. When you run out of yourself, that's when God will call you. When you run out of yourself, that's when God will lay His hand on you. And you'll commit yourself and sell out to God, and God will show you a vision. But you say to God, show me a vision. And God says, quit running. You got too much of yourself still there. I can't show you what I want to show you because you're still running. So I'm waiting until you get tired enough and then you just lay down. And then I can start talking to you. Someone said, why does God talk in the middle of the night to some? Because He can't talk to you during the day most of the time. He waits till you lie down, till you're in the middle of the night, till when the TV's off, when the radio's off, when everybody's not talking and hollering or whatever, when there's no noise in the house, it seems like that's when God communicates to people. And so God waited till Jacob got so tired, and he was so tired, he made a stone a pillow. You got to be pretty tired to pray on to lay on a stone and fall asleep. I like a soft pillow. A stone wouldn't be too attractive to me. And I'd have to be so exhausted to lay on a stone and be able to fall asleep. I can't sleep in a moving vehicle. I can't sleep when people are around. I can't sleep in an airport. When I travel, I can't sleep. Other people, I watch them sleeping. They're just laying their mouths open, sleeping away. People walking by, looking at them. People whatever. I can't sleep because when I fall asleep, I think maybe I'll snore and that guy will look at me. Or maybe my mouth will be open and they'll be talking about me. I try to nod off and then I wake up. What's going on? Who's talking? What's going on? Whatever's going on. I can't sleep. And so I'd have to be totally exhausted to sleep on a stone. I'd have to be totally wiped out. Do you know where you're going, preacher? I think I do, but I don't know. I'm heading that way. He'd had to have been so tired and so exhausted that he just succumbed to sleep and said, this stone's good enough for a pillow right here. And he laid down. And that's when God started talking. Look at your neighbor and tell him, amen. God wants to talk to you. Matter of fact, that's why it's a good reason to come to camp meeting. Because when you come to camp meeting, you slow down a little bit. Praise God. Don't got the phone. Don't got this. Don't got that. Praise the Lord. And God can do some talking to you that normally He can't seem to do. Oh, don't look at me. I know it's the first night. But don't look at me that way. You understand what I'm trying to say? When I go to camp meeting, I want God to talk to me. I want God to speak to me. I want to get something from God. And I don't want to be weary and tired to where I don't get anything. But my flesh needs to succumb. And when my flesh dies, then God can speak to my spirit. Hallelujah. And Jacob needed to get so tired that he needed to lay down in order for God to get his attention. And somebody around here needs to shut up, sit down, and amen, let God get your attention.
Oh yeah.
I know what I'm preaching. I think I'm preaching right.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I don't know why God don't talk to me, because you're talking all the time. Well, I don't know why God can't speak to me, because you won't slow down. And the reason you won't slow down is because you don't want God to do it. Really, you want God to talk, but you really don't want to hear what God has to say. Because when God gets serious, then God starts talking some serious things. And camp meeting is serious time. It's time for soul searching. Time for God to stir up the gifts and the calling of God. For God to call deep things onto deep. Hallelujah. We ain't going to play church around here. We're not going to go through the mechanics around here. God is going to talk to us, and God's going to change us.
Amen.
Stir us and change us, Lord, and touch us, Lord, that we may be different when we leave. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the first thing is, he fell asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something here. Your flesh needs to go to sleep and your spirit needs to get awake. Yeah. You got the opposite. Your spirit's sleeping and your flesh is alive. And let me tell you why I know that. Because you get so hurt so easy. You get so offended so easy. Your flesh is so alive. You get offended. Your spirit is not alive. Because if your spirit was ruling you, you wouldn't get so bent out of shape or so offended, or the devil used so easy a tactic to get you derailed off of what you're supposed to do. Amen, praise God. Can you say amen? But when the flesh is alive and the spirit's laying dormant, then all of a sudden my flesh has governed me, not my spirit. And if my spirit's not governed me, then I can't have a right spirit. Then I got to pray like David, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. I don't have a right spirit. God's in the house and I don't know He's here. God's blessing and working and I don't know what He's trying to do. God wants to move in my life and I can't figure out what He wants to do. Why? Because my flesh is alive and my flesh is well, but my spirit is asleep. Yo! Oh, Lord have mercy. Help us tonight. Look at your neighbor and tell him, wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up. See, in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 25, you don't have to turn there, but it's the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish and 5 had oil and 5 did not. The criteria was the oil. But the Bible said they all slept and slumbered at the hour, at the midnight hour. And that tells me in the last days there's a spirit of slumber that's in our day and an hour. It's a spirit that's in our society. It's a spirit that's in our church. There's a spirit of slumber, and you've got to shake that spirit or it'll overwhelm you. Come on now. Look at your neighbor and tell him you can't go to sleep in this hour. You can't go to sleep in this hour. Let me show you what happens. Amen, praise God. When you're going to sleep. Amen, praise the Lord. Some have already went to sleep. And they've got to be awakened. Some are fighting it. Amen. You're fighting the disease of Nod. Amen, praise God. It's what you're fighting. Amen, glory to God. Don't look at me like you don't do it. You know what I'm talking about. You try to get your eyes open. You sit up straight. Amen. Your eyes get droopy. You're going like this. And you go right back up like this. Amen, praise God. And you go back down again. And you'll go like this. And then you try to keep one eye open and figure you'll let the other one sleep a while. And then trade a little bit. Amen, praise God. But Nod's coming. Everybody say Nod's coming. The disease of Nod. And when you're in the land of Nod, Amen. You're not sleeping yet, but you're slumbered. The slumber spirit comes on you, and you're not aware of things around you as you would be if you're wide awake. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, don't look at me that way. All the wives are saying amen. Elbow on the husband. You know what I'm talking about. He gets in the lazy boy chair. You're talking to him. Amen. Praise God. All the while, he's fighting the disease of nod. Amen. Bless God. He's trying to keep a conversation, but you can't talk to somebody when they're under the persuasion of nod. I found that to be. The brain ain't operating right. I found they're not listening to fully. Their attention span is not there. They're not alert. They're not asleep yet, but they're in slumber. Hallelujah. You're not asleep yet. Oh, no. You're not backslid. You're not cold in God. You're just nodding once in a while. You're fighting sleep, and the nod is coming on you, and you shake yourself. Oh, I can't go to sleep. I've got to stay awake. Anybody work the graveyard shift, and you were tired? Amen. Drink coffee. Do everything you could. I traveled a lot. Amen. In traveling a lot, you get tired. And I get more tired now than I used to when I was younger. But I asked Brother Larson and Brother Eastman, different ones, on ideas how to stay awake. I asked Brother Larson. I forget what ideas he told me. I think one of them told me, chew bubble gum and blow bubbles. You can't sleep while you're blowing bubbles, brother. And that is true in a sense. But after a while, your jaws get tired and you quit chewing, I found. It's not that you quit blowing bubble, you just quit chewing. And you lose the ability to pucker anymore and blow it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think Brother Leonard Eastman told me, get a Pepsi can, amen, and just sip on it little by little. And if you're sipping little by little, you're concentrating, amen, on what you're doing. I'm concentrating more on drinking Pepsi than I was on the road, and found myself all over the road. Amen. And when the man in the blue lights and red lights pulled me over and said, sir, did you know you're going over the road across the yellow line? Sir, I'm tired, and I've been drinking this Pepsi, sipping a little bit, trying to stay awake. He said, get up. I splashed my face, walked around, splashed my face, walked around, rolled the window down. I run the air conditioner in the winter. I've done all kinds of things to fight the disease of nod. But I found this much to be. You can fight it, but if you don't get up, amen, bless God, then it'll overtake you. Sooner or later, the disease of nod will overtake you. You're not here tonight, but that's all right. I feel like preaching about right now. How do I defeat, amen, bless God, the disease of nod? I don't get in the chair. The chair is an enemy. The chair is complacency. Mediocre. This chair is an enemy. And when the devil tells me, you've taught Sunday school long enough, take a break. Go sit in the chair. You deserve a break. You ought to tell the devil, hey, no way, I'm not falling asleep. Huh? Come on now. But the devil will say, well, brother, you worked hard. Let the young pups do it now. Come on down and sit in the seat. And you'll find yourself, bless God, amen, when you sit down, you'll find yourself relaxing. And the muscles start relaxing. And suddenly, behind you, the devil says to Mr. Nod, go get them. And Mr. Nod said, I'll get them. And the next thing you know, you're fighting it. I've got to go to prayer meeting tonight, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to Wednesday Bible study. I feel you're fighting it. Well, I want to encourage you. At least you're fighting. You haven't succumbed to the thing. But the only way that I can overcome the disease of nod is to get up, because I can't fall asleep standing up. I have found out that I cannot fall asleep standing up. The only way I can fall asleep standing up. Oh, isn't this a profound, great message tonight? Is if I fall asleep standing up, then I've got to lean on something. See? And then I'll fall asleep. But if I'm out here where I've got nothing but God to lean on, huh? And I'm walking and marching and moving and thriving and stirring myself, then the disease of not can reach me because I'm not sitting down. My muscles are not relaxed. I'm up, amen, praise God. When we was in the Dominican Republic a few years back, and Brother Ken Thomas went with us, he's the only man I ever saw fall asleep standing up. Amen, praise God. We was in a service, bless his heart, the heat was hot, amen, and he wasn't taking his medicine like he should. Amen, bless God. And he was standing up, and we all stood up to read the Word of God, and stood up to pray, and when they said sit down, he was still standing. After 15 minutes, I looked over Brother Eastman after 5, and said, I think he's sleeping, but I don't know how you sleep when you're standing like that. After 15 minutes, I was still watching him. After 20 minutes, 25, he's still standing. The preacher's starting to preach, and I'm not caring what the message is. I'm watching him. I'm getting ready to holler, somebody catch him. But he never leaned one way, and he never leaned another way. He didn't lean forward. He didn't lean back. He had perfect balance, and Brother Thomas don't have perfect balance. Even when he was awake, he didn't have perfect balance. But it was amazing. A miracle. He fell asleep standing up. Hallelujah. But I found this to be, most of us in here can't sleep standing up. Amen. Praise God. We've got to sit down or lay down in order to go to sleep. And what happened to Jacob was he ran so hard he got tired, and then he fell asleep. And through falling asleep, God had to stir the man of God and get a hold of him, because God said there's a journey. And we've got to get up. We can't lay in the and lie in the ease and tired. We've got to move on, Jacob. So God sent an alarm clock, a vision. He saw a vision of a ladder going up. Amen. A ladder up and down from heaven to earth, and angels going up and down and up and down and up and down. I learned this the other day when I was reading this. I thought to myself, though the church go to sleep, God will not sleep nor slumber, the keep of Israel. My God's always moving. My God's always working. Whether I see it or whether I don't, He's on the move. And if you listen to the sleeping crowd, they'll tell you, well, God ain't doing nothing in our church. That's because you're sleeping. And when you're sleeping, amen, they could go all by you. When you sleep, things happen and you don't know they're happening around you, because you're sleeping. And when the church falls asleep in God, then they get critical and bitter, and they say, the preacher don't preach like he used to, and things don't happen like they used to. Oh, the old days. Someone said that the other day. I said, shut up. The old days. I said, God's still the same today as He was yesterday and tomorrow. Don't give me old days. Give me now. God's a God of now. God's a God that's moving now. God's a God of power now. God's a God of miracles now. God's a God of the Holy Ghost now. God's a God of power now. He's always moving and He's always working. You just got to wake up, hallelujah, to see it. The problem isn't God, it's you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, wake up. Some of you, we got three classes of people in this tabernacle tonight. We got those that are walking and wide awake. They come to camp, strutting the stuff already. Man, glory to God, hallelujah. Praise God. Kind of almost spiritual hyper, you know, like my kids. My kids have some hyperness to them. I don't know where they get it, but they got it. Hallelujah. And they get all wound up. Praise God. They won't shut up and talk and this and that and move around. They just get all wound up. Amen, praise God. When they get in situations that's kind of stressful, amen, they don't get depressed. They just get wound up kind of. Ooh, what are we going to do? Lord of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The other night we forgot to go to the gas station. Amen, praise God. Not a gas station for another 25 miles. Josiah said, oh God, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help my dad that he didn't go. Thank you. Help my dad that he didn't get to the gas station. Hey, give him wisdom next time to stop. I said, thank you for praying, Josiah, for me. But it's kind of too late right now. We made a mistake. We went on by. I was even just drove right by the gas station. Wasn't looking at the gauge too good. But he looked at the gauge. He notices that little light that comes on all the time when that light comes on. He notices that we drive with that light on quite a bit. He don't think that's very good. Amen, praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. He says, my wife, that light burns out because she keeps that light on all the time. Hallelujah. My wife says to him, we'll get home and then David will put gas in it tomorrow. And you know what? It works. I get in the car, there's no gas, I put gas in it. Then we trade cars, and then next thing you know, the light's on the next day, and she's running down to the gas. She's got a theory. And for 25 years, she's done it to me, and I haven't been able to succeed in it yet. So I decided to succumb to it, praise God. But I ain't driving with the light on all the time. Hallelujah. So we've got three classes of people. We got those that are ready and those that are awake. And then we got those fighting the disease of nod tonight. They're fighting spiritually the disease of nod. You've come tonight with droopy eyes. Matter of fact, Brother Droopy and Sister Droopy, praise God. Hallelujah. I pray God deliver you from droopiness tonight. Hallelujah. And shake the disease of nod off of you. Praise God. Amen. It's not scripture, but didn't he say we could cast out devils? Well, if we can cast devils out, then these signs must follow them that believe. Then I can cast the disease of nod out of you. And pray, be healed. Arise and be awakened in the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? But in the day of the virgins, the spirit of slumberness is in our church today. We're living in a day of slumberness. I've never seen a day like today. Slumberness is all over us. We're moving in slow motion. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Everything seems like it's slowed down, kind of. Amen. Bless God. That's because people are sleepwalking spiritually. Amen. Just nodding and trying to shake themselves to stay awake. They can't stay awake. Shake themselves. Barely teach their Sunday school class. Barely get to prayer meeting. But they're fighting. God bless you. You're fighting. Amen. Somebody say, God bless Brother and Sister Droopy. At least they're fighting. I'll fight with somebody that'll fight, that wants delivered. Amen. Praise God. I'll pray for an alcoholic and help him get deliverance from alcoholism. So if I do that, why won't I help somebody, praise God, get over the spirit of droopiness and the spirit of nod? Huh? You didn't know that you had a disease in you, did you? It's called the disease of nod. So he fell asleep. Then we've got a class of people here that have done went to sleep. And spiritually you're snoring. Now let me tell you what happens when you go to sleep. And somebody awakes you. How many's in here ever been awakened out of a sound sleep? Yeah. I'm a little hyper. Not as hyper as I used to be. I'm getting a little older, but I'm hyper inside. But one time my wife woke me up out of a sound sleep, and I jumped up on the bed. Say what? 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 David, it's just time to get up. You do stupid stuff when you get woke up out of a sound sleep. My son Joshua walks in his sleep. When he was little, and even now, he does things that his wife says, you never warned me, Dad, that he does that stuff. He just get up out of bed. Yeah, what are you saying? Move that equipment over there. I told you to move that equipment. He used to go out and stand in the rain, be standing out in his pajamas. Joshua, you better come back in. Joshua, you know. Amen. My sister, she'd go to sleep. She'd just go lay in the bathtub. Yeah, she just lay in the bathtub, and we'd have to get her, wake up, Linda, and go back to bed, and take my mother many nights, go back to bed, whatever. So when you wake up out of a sound sleep, you kind of do stupid stuff. Now, don't fall out with me tonight. But you know, God's gonna, when He wakes you up out of a sound spiritual sleep, you may feel kind of stupid and funny. Look around. Wonder if anybody knew I was really sleeping. Hope nobody knew how bad in spiritual condition I really was. I was trying to put it on. I really hope nobody knew. Huh? Get up and look around. You ever fall asleep in a public place? Get up and... Huh? had a sister years ago in the Mahaffey Church. Amen, praise God. We were praying in the back. We was having prayer time and praying in the back. And she was praying close to me. And she fell asleep because I knew she was sleeping because she was snoring. But she wasn't snoring loud enough that everybody could hear, but snoring loud enough that I could hear. And I thought to myself, this is interesting. Let me watch this. So when I got up from prayer, I watched her. She was still down there, Sister Larson. And I heard the whispers around, oh man, she's spiritual tonight. She really praying through. Oh, she waiting on God. And I thought to myself, if you only knew what I knew. She's breathing heavy over here and snoring. She wasn't even doing the Jesus thing anymore. You know, some people, they do it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And then it goes from Jesus to, oh, Gigi. Oh, Gigi. Oh, Jay. And then it just goes off somewhere. Huh? And then you wake up in the middle of the sermon. I wonder, uh-oh. I wonder how many people saw me fall asleep in the middle of the sermon. And then you realize, you know, one person saw you. And that was your pastor, whose eyes are on everybody. I've come to this degree. I do what Jesus said. Sleep on, my son. Sleep on. I ain't waking you up no more. Not going to do this, do that, to embarrass you. They fall asleep. They might be tired. They might have worked hard. I don't know. Or good, honest people fall asleep sometime in church. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you know you have once in a while. Huh? You know you have. She woke up. She looks around. She realizes the preacher's preaching and she's fell asleep somewhere. And she don't know how long she's been sleeping because she don't know if it's the middle of the sermon, the first of the sermon, or about the benediction. So she's awful embarrassed, Sister Laura. She turns red. So I thought, I'm going to watch this because I want to learn for when I fall asleep. If it ever happens to me, I know what to do now. This is what you do, brother. She got up real reverent, like, and looks around. And, oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. She turned around, sit down, and all them sisters, ah, she touched heaven tonight. And she looked over at me, and I looked at her. And she didn't say a word, but her eyes said to me, Pastor Brady, please don't tell on me. Please, because I know that you know, but they don't know. Please don't tell on me. And I just looked and smiled and didn't say a word, like, I'll keep it to myself. Praise God. I was a little ornery and said, did you pray through? When I said that, she knew. Oh, he heard me snore. Thank God she wasn't a loud snorer. God saved her that way. But when you wake up, you do funny things, do you not? You wake up, you feel embarrassed when you fall asleep. You wake up, you look around and whatever like that. Praise God. Now what? Let me tell you something. Let me go on a sky side excursion here. This is a strange sermon tonight, is it not? What you ought to do, you that are awake, y'all not make them feel bad they got up. You ought to thank God they woke up. I've come to this degree. Not everybody wakes up at the same time in a service. Some people wake up in the middle of the sermon. Not everybody arrives on time. Their body's there, but they're not there yet. And so as a pastor, and over the years, I've learned this much. You don't beat them. You don't browbeat them. You just wait for them to get there. And you find out that God runs the bus 24 hours. And some catch it on the first trip, some catch it on the third, and some catch it on the fourth, and even some, He's still waiting on them to wake up. But when they wake up, they'll get on the bus. And so you know what I do as a pastor? I don't scold them. I just thank God they woke up and got on the bus. Don't look at me like you've never been there. You've been there and not been there. Cow, don't want to admit it. It's on tape, so don't admit nothing that'll be incriminating to export. Huh. When I went to Bible school, they said, boy, this is the most valuable class you'll ever want to know. But the only thing I got out of it was a good nap. Woke up about halfway through the Hebrew and the Greek somewhere on the line. All right, we'll use this down the road somewhere on the line. Anybody take notes today? Praise God. Can anybody help me today? Because I didn't arrive. Don't look at me that way. I'm a preacher and sometimes I don't arrive yet. Why do you think preachers sometimes, hallelujah, glory to God, praise to God, praise to God, glory to God. Someone ought to holler, preacher, hurry up and get here. But you know what's great about this? God was there. Everybody say God was there. God was watching Jacob sleep, and he gave him a vision and blessed him, and then he woke him up. Praise God. I believe God needs to wake us up, saints of God. We're living in a great time. We're living in a great hour. We're living in the last days. This is not a time to go to sleep. It's a time to wake up. Hallelujah. Allow God to stir you. Allow God to shake you. And allow God to wake you up. And don't be proud. Amen. To the place that you can't admit that sometimes you nod off. And you have to pray, God, stir me. God, wake me up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Now notice the revelation he gets here. When he wakes up, here's what he has now. He has transformed and got a revelation. Verse 6 says, and Jacob waked awake out of his sleep and said, hallelujah. Let me say this. You can't confess anything till you wake up. You can't do anything till you wake up. But if you wake up, then you can confess it. What he couldn't confess it while he was sleeping? Amen, praise God. But when he woke up, then his mouth said something. Some of you are talking in your sleep. Your mouth has got ahead of your actions. Yana, my power, I tell you, I'm going to do something great for God. Someone will shake you and say, wake up first and then talk. You've been talking that way for 20 years. Wake up first. Wake up first. Look at your neighbor and shake him just a little bit and say, wake up first. And then talk. He woke up and the Bible said, then he said, hallelujah. Then out of his mouth came revelation. Then out of his mouth came what God revealed to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, surely, everybody say surely. Surely, he said, this is the place, amen, where God is. Huh? You? Now, let's look at this. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. Let me ask you something. Oh, amen. Did God just arrive when Jacob woke up? But what happened was, it wasn't that God just arrived. It was that Jacob finally caught the revelation and got into the presence of the Lord. And finally, Jacob arrived. Not the idea that God's not here and all of a sudden God arrives. It's the idea that we've arrived and woke up and the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened to know what the will of God is and know what the riches of His inheritance is and the wisdom and the mind of God. Hey, I don't have to say God be here. He is there. God was there before I got there. God's behind me, beside me, all around me. His presence is everywhere. I don't got to pray now, Lord, come on by. He's already there. What I've got to pray is, Lord, stir me that I'm conscious of your presence. Because really, if the truth be known, God's power is here. God's presence is here. But the only one that needs to enter in is you. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. Huh? He says something like, you know, surely the Lord is in this place. He didn't say that when he fell asleep. He didn't say that before he went to sleep. But after he awoke, he stated the truth. God's in this place. Huh? God's in this place. You know, I come from the old school Pentecost. You know, but sometimes the old school, amen, they had funny ways. And some of the dear mamas back home in the mountains of West Virginia, they would wait for an hour and then they'd shout. Something would stir, certain song, something, and then all of a sudden, woo! Down the aisle they go, woo! And then they'd say, God's here now. I'd say, Mama, did he just get here? If that's the truth, God's an hour late. And if God just got here, where was he at? And if God just got here, then how can God just get here when God's everywhere? When God's presence is everywhere, does God have to run up and catch somewhere? No. Same way you say, well, let's touch God, like God ain't here. No, the idea is you needed God to touch you. The idea is to be conscious that God is here. This is the place. Somebody say, this is the place. This is the place. This is holy ground. This is where God's at. He said, surely this is the place. The Lord is here. And I didn't know it. I was blind. I was dull. I was asleep. I was running. I was already preoccupied. Amen, bless God. But now I've been awakened. And I sense the holy presence of the holy God in this rocky terrain that I fell asleep in. And suddenly it is holy ground. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he says, this is a dreadful place. Now the word dreadful there does not mean scary or terror. It means it's a holy place. Look at the difference now. When God awakes Jacob, he's talking right. Look at your neighbor and tell him, when you wake up, you'll talk right. But right now, if you're sleeping and you're a sleeping member, you're not talking right.
Well, I tell you what, pastor's got an evangelist coming in, but our church is so bad, I don't think we could have revival. We'd have to have revival for about 4 weeks or 5 weeks. Oh, like we used to have. You know, we need them revivals like you used to.
You can't even make it 3 services a week. What in the world could you make it 3 weeks? Amen, praise God. They'd be burying you in the cemetery somewhere. Praise God. Come on now. Some of you said, my, 3 services a day, camp meeting? Praise God. You mean I can't go to get my nap in the afternoon? Praise God. Come on now. Amen. But when you wake up, you talk right. Matter of fact, you'll preach, you'll know you woke up because you start talking right. And then when you wake up, you walk right. And then when you wake up, you fear God. And there's a reverence and a fear of God and a respect of God. And you sense God is in the house. Can you say amen? I've got to move on. Years ago in a tent meeting in Berwick, Pennsylvania, my pastor preached years ago. I was the tent man then. And we were laying on a platform watching the tent. Me and Kenny Schaffner. It was a wild town, boy. They beat some guy with a tire iron the night before. 4 guys jumped out and beat this guy with a tire iron and let him lay there, blood all over the place. So I went to bed with a level. Couldn't find a ball bat or tire iron, but I found a level that we leveled the platform with, and I laid it right by my sleeping bag. Brother Kenny said, why you got that level there? I said, I just got it for security. He said, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to level somebody that comes on in. Brother Kenny said, I'll trust God. I don't need that level. I'll trust God. The next night I couldn't find my level. I said, Kenny, you see my level? He said, no, I don't know. All right, Kenny, give it to me. He said, I didn't sleep at all last night. I said, I slept good with it by me. And he said, that's why I put it by me. I said, all right, you can have it by you then. You can have it by you. But we had a drunk man that was laying out in the middle of the tent, on the front of the tent at 3 o'clock in the morning, hollering, screaming. And this is what he was hollering. God, I know you're in there. God, I know you're in there. You may laugh at that, but that man had more sense than some of them people that came to that meeting. He was backslid, intoxicated, but he had enough sense to know where God resided. And he came to get deliverance. And he hollered, God, I know you're in there, and I'm coming in because I need help. And if anybody's been tempting you, you know what I'm about ready to say. Your eyes adjust when you're in the tent and you're in the dark. But when you immediately come in, your eyes don't adjust. You have one advantage. It's not a long advantage, because when their eyes adjust, then you better run. But until their eyes adjust, you got one advantage. So I said, give me that level. It's kind of rowdy here. I don't know what's going to happen. David had a sling and a stone. So I leaned on the level. And the man come in the curtains, and I knew he couldn't see me. The dog was barking. He said, God, you're here. And if that dog chews my leg off, I still need help, God, tonight. And the man's crying. He said, God, I know you're here. I felt God's presence. And all of a sudden I said to him, you need to get your life right with God. I said it with a pretty deep voice, you know. Deeper than I normally have. And the man said, God, I knew you were here. And I said to him, don't you think you ought to make it right? I said it with a little deeper voice. Now, I never told the man I was God. Kenny's trying to find the lights to plug it in, but he can't seem to find it. He tripped over the drums. He did all kinds of things. Finally, he plugged the lights in. The man said, you're not God. And I said, I never said I was. God must have knew I was getting close to blaspheme or something. So he turned the lights on. You know, he must have knew I was getting pretty close. You know, I could have had the man on his knees pretty quick. All I had to do was say, lightning's coming right now, buddy. Get right or you're French fried. The man had been down. But because the lights came on, it took me 3 hours to get that man sober and pray him through. Told Kenny, you should have kept the lights down. We could have had instantaneous conversion. Man would have been on his knees, I guarantee you. But I say this to say that. He said a truth, really. And the man, when he got sober and gave his heart to Christ, he said to me, all week I've walked up and down this road. And I've heard your pastor say, God is in this tent. If you have a need or whatever you need, God is here tonight to meet your need. And he said, and I knew that God was here. He said, and I was drinking and at the bar. And he said, I just looked at the bartender and said, I'm going up to that tent. The bartender said, you don't need that tent. You're drunk. 3 o'clock in the morning. The man said, but the preacher said, God's there. And I need help. When that man come in there, he found help. And I found this to be, we woke up out of a sound sleep, 3 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't too alert, too good. I was still rubbing the sleepy bugs out of my eye. But God didn't go to sleep all night. He met that man at 3 o'clock in the morning. Instantly met him at the tent. Can you say amen? Jacob said, this is a dreadful place. God was here, and I didn't know it. Now notice the two other things he says, and I must move on. He says this, amen, praise God. Surely this is the house of God. God doesn't dwell just in a structure building. God dwells in an earthen vessel. God dwells inside of you. Matter of fact, you are the house of God. Matter of fact, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's got 3 tabernacles. A heavenly tabernacle, and he's had the earthly tabernacle. And in the New Testament, you are the tabernacle. Made in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. And you are the tabernacle. And God dwelled in tabernacles in old, but God chose on the day of Pentecost to come down and not dwell in just one tabernacle, but dwell in 120 earthen tabernacles. And they became the residence of God. God inhabited and lived inside of them. That's why Peter and John could say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. That's why Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You are the house of God. You are the residence of the Holy Ghost. What makes us different than other religions is that God lives and dwells, and we have our being and live in Him. Can you say amen? That's why you can be in a supermarket and it suddenly becomes the house of God. You could be at a gas station and suddenly it becomes the house of God, because you are the tabernacle. See, that's why you ought to never say, when we get to church, we'll shout. Church is inside of you. If you can't shout at home, you ain't going to shout at church. Huh? See, we got that idea. When we get to church, God's there. Well, what about God's in you? And if God's in you, then everywhere you go, God's in you. And Jacob said, this is the house of God. This is where God resides. I better get up here and look at that watch, brother. Praise God. Because I feel like I've won over. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me. I have. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, this is the house of God. Amen. Don't ever apologize for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever apologize that God lives in you. Don't ever apologize that God anoints you. Don't ever apologize that God resides in you. Praise God. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The church, the world needs to see God inside of you. Let God arise and his enemies scatter. Let God rise up on the inside of you. Let God raise up a standard in the day of sleepy and slumberness. Shake yourself and say, amen, God resides inside of me. I ought to not be sleeping nor slumbering, for the Spirit of the Lord is inside of me. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it'll quicken my mortal body. Hey, I've got an agent against the enemy of Nod, and I've got a remedy for sleepiness, and that's the Spirit of God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and there's life, and there's excitement, and there's joy, and there's love. Hey, they'll never know God unless you take them to Him. They'll never know God unless you go out of your four walls and take God with you. Amen. This is the house of God. And then he said one more thing, and I'll close because we want to pray. He's seen, this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. I want to say something here. I don't want you to take it the wrong way and think I'm being boastful. But there's no one else that can touch heaven but those who are the house of God. Those who are blood washed and know their God. What the Bible say in the last days, them that know their God shall do mighty exploits. Please come to the keyboard or the organ. I've got to close. Please. Please, 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 come quickly. I've got to close. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This is the gate of heaven. This is where God meets us. This is where we can touch God. I hear Jesus say in Matthew chapter 18, amen, bless God. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. God's given you authority and power. Hallelujah. But notice the progression of the revelation. Notice he had to wake up first. And when he woke up, then he started talking right. And when he got to talking right, then he got to confessing right. And when he got confessing right, he was conscious of God's presence. And he stepped into the presence of Almighty God. And then the revelation got more progressive. Not only am I the house of God, Brother Bailey, but at the gate of heaven starts here. Everything starts here. My family needs me to pray because it starts here. Unsaved loved ones need me to pray because it starts here. Nothing starts by accident and nothing starts by coincidence. It all starts by prayer. And when the saints of God humble themselves and number themselves and bind on earth, praise God, then heaven agrees and binds it in heaven. Hallelujah. And there is an agreement that happens between heaven and earth that only those and who are the house of God can do it. Can you say amen? Does anybody need something changed on earth? Does anybody need something that heaven has to touch? Huh? What happens on the ladder? The devil can't take the ladder down. That ladder stays up there. You know what happens, Sister Bonnie, when heaven touches earth? Supernatural things happen. You know what happens when heaven touches earth? God answers prayer. You know what happens when heaven touches earth? Faith rises up in people and they believe for miracles. Just let me tell you what happened just the other day. A preacher friend of mine said, my sister hasn't talked to me in 10 years. He said, pray with me. Let's bind that spirit. We bound together and prayed. Just the other day I seen him and he said, you don't guess what happened. I said, I can tell you what happened. Your sister called you. He said, yes, she called me. After 10 years called me and said, let's talk. Amen. Let's heal this relationship. You know why? Because the gate of heaven started. When two agree as touching on anything, it shall be done. And I agreed with him that God would touch and heaven would come down and change an earthly situation that only God could do. And I agreed with him. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Just the other day, someone came to me and said, I have a hole in my lung and they want to operate. We bound together and prayed and heaven touched earth and a miracle happened. And they said the other day, I don't have to have surgery. The hole is gone. They can't find a hole in the lungs. That's heaven touching earth. That's supernatural things happening. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One of the brothers in my church been praying for his mama to come to the house of God. Amen. 3 weeks ago, situations arose and stirred her heart. And she's in the house of God. Tears running down his face. But somebody had to bind. And somebody had to pray. Hey, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Prayer does move. Prayer does change things. Can you say amen? Hold on. You're the gate of heaven. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen because somebody prayed.
I want to say this. Don't find just anybody agree with you, because agreement means they got to be of one heart with you. Not everybody will be one heart with you. So you got to find someone that's one heart with you. And God promised this, where two or three are gathered in my name. You know what he promised? I'll be there in the midst. You can pray all we want, brother. We can pray and pray, but if we ain't in agreement, then God's not in agreement with us. But if we can get one heart, and I can move with compassion for you, and you move with compassion for me, and you can weep for my family, I weep for yours. We bind together. There's a power that happens between that. And heaven acknowledges. And suddenly, all of a sudden, God comes down in that kind of prayer meeting. And he sends a witness and says, I've heard that prayer. And I'm moving on that situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. When's been the last time you feel a witness from heaven? You felt something tell you. The ladder's still there. Jacob's ladder is still there. Hallelujah. And the songwriter that wrote, Jesus on the main line. Maybe he got it from that scripture. Jesus on the main line. There's a main line. There's a ladder been built by the Holy Ghost. And he builds a pretty sturdy ladder that generations or generations have ascended up on that ladder. Angels going up and angels coming down and things happening. Hallelujah. That over and over and over that ladder's been used. Hallelujah. How many mamas have cried out and bind them in heaven and cried out to heaven only to have heaven come down and bear witness and move on earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A sister Kitchener, Haman, bless God, told me that her mother was a praying mother. Wrote in her Bible when she passed away. A sister Kitchen found it. And in her Bible she wrote, all of my children will come into the kingdom. God promised me. And I will stand on that promise. And she wrote something even greater. And after I'm gone, God will still honor my prayer and my promise. Because God promised. And when they buried her, amen, some of the boys were still lost. Amen, bless God. But one of the boys went out in the woods and found the rock where mama prayed. And when he found the rock where mama prayed, the same spirit come on him and he repented of his sins and came into the kingdom. I'm here to tell you the ladder is strong and the ladder is dependable. And you can pray and pray, and even when you're gone, that prayer still can be answered. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet tonight, please. How many in here have a situation you need God to move on? Let me see your hand. I come with a letter from a person that gave it to me today and said to me, my son, my husband's daughter is bound by cocaine. She has a terrible addiction. Pastor Brady, she's a young girl in her 20s.
And this cocaine monster has taken her life from her. I said, will you take it? Will you ask them people at that tabernacle? Will you ask them to go to God for me too? Because I'm tired. I've prayed, but I'm tired. But I know she needs a miracle. Can you go ask them Holy Ghost people up there if they'll touch heaven for me and touch God for me? Huh? Brother, I put that right in where I'm preaching because I didn't want to forget it. Because that's how serious that is. I feel a holy presence here right now. I feel like God says, let's start this thing out right by binding together. Binding together. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you're awake, you're asleep, I pray God shake you and awake you. If you're fighting the spirit of Nod, I pray God shake you and cause you not to fall asleep in the great hour we live in. You that are awake, I pray God keep you awake. God keep us awake. God keep us awake. Everybody say, God keep us awake. Keep us awake. Keep us awake. Keep us awake. Step out of where you're at and come and stand here. We're going to bind together tonight. We're going to call on the gate of heaven. We're going to bind together. We're going to ask heaven to touch some earthly things. We're going to ask heaven to touch some earthly things tonight. Some things that need to be changed. Things that need to be changed in your family. Things that need to be changed in your home. Things that need to be changed maybe in your body. Maybe you've come with a disease, or you've come with an infirmity, or you've come sick to camp meeting. Heaven can touch earth and heal your body. Even the supernatural is that takes over the natural. Things happen when the supernatural takes. Heaven touches earth and supernatural things begin to happen. Miraculous things begin to happen. Hallelujah. And we're the people of the miraculous. We're the people. Hallelujah. Hey, where are those that are not sleeping in the hour? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're those that know our God and know that He'll do mighty exploits for them that know their God. We're awake in this hour. I want you, praise God, amen, first to raise your hand toward heaven tonight and say to God, Lord, I'm the house of the Lord. Dwell here. Dwell here, Lord. Rise up within me and stir every gift and every call. Stir everything that's laying dormant inside of me. Stir everything, my God, that's laying dormant inside me. Things I've pushed down in recess. Things I've been hurt. People have hurt me and I pushed it down. I just quit praying about it. I just kind of quit looking after it. And I just let it lay dormant in me. But my God, awake me. Stir me. Hallelujah. Hey, that person that hurt you, they're not even thinking about you. They're not even thinking what they did about you. You're the one suffering. You're the one that's fallen asleep and allowing things inside of you that ought to wake. Hallelujah. Oh, the Song of Solomon. Amen. Solomon cried out to his love, awake, oh, awake, awake my love, awake my love. God's calling to the church, awake, shake yourself, wake yourself up. God, stir. Come on, where you're at, raise your hand and tell God, stir it in me, awake it in me, God. Awake it, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm standing here, Lord, in need of you to wake me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Notice the progression of the vision. Hallelujah. The house of God, the gate of heaven. And then he says, I'll make a vow to God. You don't make any vow to God until you've been there in his presence and been committed. Hallelujah. Oh, awake me, Lord. He awaked men of old. Moses, he awaked after 40 years. A burning bush. Awake the calling. Isaiah. He awaked him when he saw the vision of God in his holiness. Hallelujah. And was awakened to a greater call. Oh, hallelujah. May this be a camp meeting where God awakens his children and stirs the heart of his children. Hallelujah. May this be the camp meeting. Sadadidiyapurudadabah. Come on, saint, pray. I know the hour is getting late, but please pray. Please, please. I didn't preach long to make it be long. I preached what God laid on my heart. I hope I did. I believe I tried to do the best I could. Now pray about it. Now put it before God. God, here I am. Wake me, God. Shake me, God. Don't let me fall into the land of sleepiness. Don't let me be asleep, my God, and my lamp be not trimmed. Don't let me, Lord, shake me, my God. I see people sleeping all around me. I see those that once were awake falling asleep. I see them nodding and sleeping. I can't do a whole lot to pray for them, but I can shake myself. My God, don't let it come on me. Lord, shake me, please. Keep me in the presence of a holy God. Keep me conscious of a holy God. Oh God, don't let me become dull of hearing and dim of eyes and blind and deaf, oh God. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Come on now. Come on now. You can't do nothing for your loved one until you do something for yourself. Amen. Praise God. We ain't binding nothing until we start to make it right with God where you're at right there. Lord, here I am. I'm the house of God. Dwell, Lord. Rise up within. Oh, the Lord is moving. I feel the Lord moving on people. I feel the Lord moving on people. Let Him move on you. Let Him move on you. Let it flow out of you. It's been a while since you spoke in the Holy Ghost. Let it start to rise. It needs to waken up. That prayer language, that language needs to wake up. Hallelujah. Let it wake up. Let it flow out of you like rivers. Come on, saint of God. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a wake-up call. Hallelujah. Arise and wake up. Oh, I can't arise unless I wake up. I can't get up unless I wake up. I can't move forward unless I wake up. I can't send my hand to do what God wants me to do unless I wake up. Lord, shake me. Help me to wake up. And then I can move forward. Hallelujah. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up, Lord, that you can stir inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that the revelation will grow in me. Lord, the knowledge of you would grow in me. I've let it stay still. I've let it stay stagnant, Lord. Amen. I've not moved any forward, any farther. Some of you have not moved any farther in the revelation God's given you. You want more, but you haven't done nothing with what God's given you already. You need to awaken within you. Hallelujah. It stopped in you. I said it stopped in you. I said it stopped in you. Hallelujah. Come on, let God shake it. Let God stir. Let God put all the cobwebs out. Let God clean house tonight. Let God shake you. How long's it been since God laid His hand on you and spoke to you individually? Oh my. You don't need a preacher talking to you. You need God to talk right now. God talking in the residence of your heart, in the recesses of your spirit. Hold it up. For yea, the Lord would say, the vision is great, and yea, the borders are surely should be enlarged, and yea, there are greater things to do. But I would say unto thee, though the men of God have it, and though the men of God would enlarge their borders, they need you to awaken. They need you to have a mind to work. They need you to stir and rise up and take your place. For I would say unto thee, be not complacent, nor be content where you're at, but stir yourself, for the vision is greater than you can even comprehend, and the love of God is greater than you could comprehend, and the knowledge of me is greater than you can comprehend. And I would say, allow it not to die, for many have allowed to die. Movements that you've seen that died was because they fell asleep, and they were comfortable in the revelation they had, and they were comfortable in just what they had, and they walked not farther, and they fell asleep and became self-righteous, or they became pious, or they had a form of godliness and denied the power and did not move forward. That's why you see them in the condition they're in, a shell of what they was. Amen. Not where they should be, because because they fell asleep. Take a warning, saith the Lord. That can happen to any. And you need to awaken and stir yourself and know that the vision is before you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I stir you this night. I call deep unto deep. I am going to do some things around here that will astound you and even cause you to stand in awe of my presence, saith the Lord. And if you will allow me, if you will allow me, if you will allow me, amen, if you will allow me, you shall say, this is the place where God, amen, dwells. This is the place where God dwells. Hallelujah.